I want to take a moment today and talk to you out of the book of James. For those of us who know a little bit of Bible history, we know that James is the half-brother of Jesus. James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. This text today, as we take time to explore the text, I have entitled this, Stay Committed to Your Faith. The world around us is filled with distraction. There are distractions in our families and there are distractions on the job. There are distractions in the schoolhouse, and everywhere we look, there are distractions. But in this lesson, we learn how to stay committed to our faith until Christ returns. The world will make us think God is so far off that he's not concerned about returning. But we are called to have patience many a times in life. And perhaps we are called to be patient more often than we dare to be patient. It is hard because we lack certainty about so many things. And when we're not sure about many things, sometimes anxiety creeps in. There is something about anxiety that causes us all to succumb or crumble or fall. We falter under the pressure of anxiety when we don't really know exactly what we should be doing. But the text in our hearing today, it poses a question. And the question it poses is the fact that we must be patient. The Bible says that as we get closer to the end of the age, life on planet Earth will be more perilous, like a woman with birth pains before delivery. The pains become more frequent and intense with every passing moment. We must stay centered on Christ and we must remain confident in the Word, which is Christ Jesus. We have to remain committed to our faith. The first thing I want to bring to you is the instruction. In verse 7, in part A of it, it tells us the instruction. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Something great is about to happen. The Lord is getting ready to descend. He is coming back. We must remain faithful and we must be patient as we wait on the return of the Lord. In being faithful and waiting on the return of the Lord, distraction will come. These distractions, they are exactly that. Their purpose is to get you and to get me off course. That our eyes will no longer be focused on the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. How does he wait? He wait patiently. He wait patiently for it until he receives the early and the latter rain, the autumn and the spring rain. He says, you also be patient. Establish your hearts for the coming of the Lord. James says, therefore, be patient. The question that you may want to know, and so do I, what is he really talking about? What does he really mean when he says to be patient? Patient means to live out your belief that God is ordering everything. In other words, in the midst of everything that you see going on, even the things that you dislike, in the midst of promotion and demotion, while those excel and those who falter and fall back. In every situation, we need to realize that God is sovereign over his creation. We look around and we see a lot of evil. In fact, it appears sometimes as if there is more evil present than good. But the Bible declares wherever evil is, guess what? Good is there. And where sin is, grace abounds and even more grace is present. Patience does not just, it is not just grim and bare. It is not a stoic life. To be patient, it has to do with a devoted heart, with a devoted mind. So in being patient, when you go into a beauty salon, the ladies in particular, you are patient with the hairdresser. And the Lord knows the hairstyles today can take several hours. But here we have a problem to assemble ourselves together and being patient for only a few minutes to hearken to the voice of the Lord that is presented to us through God's creation, be it man or be it woman, because God is not a respecter of person. Amen? I'm talking about waiting on the Lord. I'm talking about being patient. It is easy to live life in times of prosperity. Times of difficulty requires patience. You see, anybody can be good when there's no testing going on. But what happened when there's testing? Spiritual patience is not a passive acceptance. It does not just lay back mentality. That's not the patient I'm referring to. The spiritual patient, it is active. In other words, it is the ability to be able to fight. Paul talks about being a good contender for the faith, being able to stand when you've done all that you can to stand. Do you not know that sometime you are standing and you get to a point, man, Lord, I really desire a seat right now. I'd like to sit down for a moment. But Paul declared that we must continue to stand. Now, let me just say something about standing. Standing has to do with the condition of your heart. Standing has nothing to do with your physical feet and your ability to have strength in your legs. Spiritual patience, it is an active fighting endurance that confronts trials and temptations and that sets out to conquer them. When we are patient, something is stirred up within us as a result of our patience because it is not passive, but it is active. So therefore, we are called to occupy until our Lord return. In our ability to occupy, there is a patience in waiting on Christ to return. But in doing so, we do it in an active way. And when we are not actively pursuing the things of the kingdom of God, then we are waiting on the Lord in complacency. The Bible says that what our hands find to do, we must do. In Paul's writing in Romans, he says that all of our members must be offered as members of righteousness unto the Lord. Spiritual patience, it is a fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5. When the believers faces some trials or temptations, the Holy Spirit arouses and it causes the urge to combat the situation and to conquer it. Sometime when we are waiting, we can become distraught, distracted. And, you know, the anxiety begins to creep up within us. And then we are no longer combating the temptation and the trials. It is up to us to respond and to follow the urge of the Spirit and to persevere. It is up to us to refuse to give in to the enslavement or the discouragement and the defeat. Being able to stay committed You cannot be committed to anything unless you believe in it. You cannot be committed and stay committed to anything unless you have faith in it. If there is no faith, if there is no belief in it, if there is no hope in it, then you will not stay committed to it. Therefore, the believers must trust the Spirit of God to stir his heart and stand fast against the temptations and the trials. Hardship and difficult times. These are not new in the Word of God. Jesus made it very clear that we must be of good cheer. Why? Because he has overcome the world. And what he's saying is he has overcome every circumstances and every situation that we will face. And that's why he's able to tell us to be of good cheer. The illustration about patience, it says, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rain. You see, the farmer knows something about sowing seeds. And he knows something all about waiting on the harvest and about the necessity of the early, okay, and the latter rain. The early rain, it comes in the fall and it softens the ground for the planting of the seed. And then the latter rain, it comes in April and May to ripen the harvest. But if you don't put a seed in the ground, there will be nothing to be ripened when the autumn rains come. Are you sowing any seeds? Who have you led to Christ? What seeds are you sowing? Are you still committed to the faith? I'm asking you to stay committed to your faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And if you stay committed to your faith, which is in Christ Jesus, then you will understand. You'll understand this text that has to do with the latter rain and the early rain. A farmer doesn't do anything unless he has an expectation. He don't plow a field and put things or seed in the earth with the idea and the concept that nothing should come forward. Why do we go to church? Why do we assemble ourselves together without an expectation? We must assemble ourselves together and we must come to church with an expectation. And that expectation comes as a result of the fact that we too are busy staying committed to our faith. And in doing so, we are sharing our faith and we are sowing seeds so that God will be able to send the rain. And because of him sending the rain, in other words, one plants, Apollos water, and God brings the increase. If we expect increase, the increase comes because each and every one of us, we are staying committed to our faith. And in doing so, we are sowing seeds. And there is an expectancy in doing this. And God brings the increase. He brings the harvest about. And we will not have room enough to receive what God is sending because of the latter rain. The return of Christ is something that we have no control over. When he comes, we don't have any control over that. Staying committed understands and is sufficient to know that he is coming. And we must be prepared. We simply have to wait for God to accomplish the harvest of souls according to his timetable. But in the process of doing that, God has called us. He says to the first set of disciples, come and follow me. He's saying to you and he's saying to me, come and follow him, meaning Jesus Christ. And when we follow him, he says, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It is so important. The farmer in the process, he spends time so that his harvest will come about. And he spends time doing a lot of important things that may seem trivial to you and to me. Some of those things he does, well, he combats the trials of the dry and the wet. The insects and the diseases, the wild weeds of the world. Likewise, you must do the same thing. You have to combat the weeds that are in your life. the insects that wants to get in to destroy the crop, which is the word of God that's been sown in your heart. No, no matter the confrontations, the farmer persists in protecting his crop. Saints of God, as true believers, if we're going to stay committed to our faith, we too must act in the position of the farmer. And we must bring about a mindset that enable us to fight off the things that will come to cause the seed that was put in the ground to not come to full term. Being patient, it's not easy when you can't see what's going on in the process because the seed has been covered up with dirt. Most of us want to go back and dig it up just to see if it's really working. The truth is, don't do it. Trust the process, knowing that God, that He is able, that He who has begun a good work is able to see it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Believers, they must establish their hearts. The word means to set your heart upon, or to fix your heart upon, or to be steadfast in your faith. We need to be able to understand, unless a chart is plot for that ship that's about to leave the harbor, guess what? It never leaves the harbor. It just circles within that same body of water, and it'll never see another port. Nevertheless, if we stay committed to our faith, there's an expectancy, and it comes because of who God is. Being faithful and staying committed, it is easy for us to become distracted and begin to complain. What about this? And what about that? And who's going to do what? And why? Never mind all of that. Stay committed to the truth. And the Spirit of Truth will continue to do exactly what is created and its purpose to do. It is to lead and guide you. It is to lead and guide me. Let God be God, and let everything else be a lie. Second Peter. Peter said that the scoffers will come in the last days, asking about the promised coming of Christ. This is the response. But beloved, do not forget this one thing. 1,000 years is like one day. We who are Christians, we understand this, but the world don't. And so in the midst of this, they will begin to ask us, where is your God? Where is your Lord? He said He was coming. Why haven't He showed up? But we must remain steadfast. We have to remain faithful. Otherwise, God will show up. And when He does, the implication of our patience will be tried, and our works will not pass the test of the fire. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord is coming. And not only that, His coming is near. Patience causes us to do two things in particular. It causes us to develop confidence in waiting. It causes us to be encouraged. We all need to be encouraged. We must remain faithful. The only way we're going to be faithful is because we are no longer focusing on the distraction that the world brings to us. Unless we are able to elevate ourselves by the Word of God above the circumstances that are in our lives, then we will remain in the circumstances, and we will see ourselves the way 10 of the 12 spies did, and the giants will always be greater than us. And we will not have what it takes to slay the giants off our lives. God is calling us, and He's declaring it today through His word. We are well able, saints of God, to go forward in faith because of our commitment And knowing that he that is in us is greater than he that is in this world. Because we refuse to succumb. We refuse to give up hope. We refuse to not be faithful. We must stay committed to the faith which comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's stand. Sovereign Lord, who can never lose control, is the object of our confidence and our faith. And you are the reason for our patience, Lord. We don't know what the future holds, but this we do know. We know who holds the future. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray now, Lord God, that you would fortify us once again, that you will build us up when we're torn down. Lord, I'm praying, Father God, that you, Father God, will allow me to remain faithful, steadfast, Lord. And Lord, I pray now, and I offer up to you, Father God, these words. Lord, that you will strengthen your people, that you would remove the blindness from their eyes that they may be able to see. Father God, that you will open the air gates that they may be able to hear. Lord, that you would give them, Father God, a heart and a mind after the things of God. Lord, that they too will be able to remain steadfast. That they too will be able to remain committed to the work of the Lord. Lord, increase their faith and help their unbelief, I pray. Lord, do it for your name's sake. And we'll continue to give you the honor and give you the glory. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name.